This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saligny Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Getting ready for baseball tonight here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium. It's rivalry weekend in baseball, so the Cardinals have the Kansas City Royals in town. Of course, we got the broadcast starting at 6:20, 7:15 first pitch. Part of that broadcast, both of these guys are on it. In fact, it is Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly. I'm Chris Ranji along with them, and it's good to have you with us today until 1. You can text us your thoughts at 314-436-7900. Watch on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Find KMOX Sports on any of those accounts, and you can watch the show as we go, and you can leave comments too, and we see a lot of those comments as well. So, fellas, Cardinals just wrapped up a road trip. They took care of business against the Oakland A's, taking 2 of 3 against them, now coming back home. And things, you know, it feels like a bit of stasis here because the Cardinals were playing well last time we talked about them, and they still are playing well and getting results. Claibs?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, when you think about the road trip, you had the games against San Diego, which I think you could have won all 4. And I know the game you lost against the Athletics, you could have easily won. So I like the way they're playing. I think if the game that maybe they'd like to have back was game 2 of the series against the Athletics. But overall, you know, it's not one person carrying the team. I think the offense is up and down. As far as productivity is concerned, everybody's making a contribution. The pitching has been good. The starting pitching has been good for the most part. You take away that one inning from Libertor, and I think the starting pitching was pretty good over the course of the road trip. Bullpen, you know, there's a couple of highs and lows there, but overall I like the direction that they're headed.
You know, during a 162-game season, you're going to have some moments that are not quite right, not what you want it to be. I think, to Claibs' point, that describes that second game of the A series, where that's just not the Cardinals that we have seen this year. They kept putting themselves into opportunities, and then all of a sudden they would do something and those opportunities would go away. I also think there's, you know, yesterday's game is a game that they kind of stole at the last moment. And yeah, they got a game stolen from them at the last minute against the Padres in that final game on Sunday. So those two games kind of even each other out in my mind. And you split a 4-game series. That's what you generally do. You did that against a really good team. You take 2 out of 3 from the A's. That guarantees that you have a winning road trip. I'm really comfortable with where this team is at. And they come back to St. Louis one more game over 500 compared to where they were at when they left. That's fine with me.
And you split 4 on the road, too. So doing that on the road is what you want to be. And what's interesting about this Cardinals team is that they have played better away from Busch Stadium, at least so far. I mean, we're halfway through May right now. They've got a better record on the road than they do at home. They're 500 at home, and that's kind of, Claibs, that's the backwards way to do it. Normally, it's the other way. You try to win at home, you stay around 500 on the road.
Yeah, you know, and you look back at last season where they couldn't win on the road, and they were very good at home, and I think that'll turn around. I think, obviously, the weather's going to be better. We're going to have some good crowds coming in this weekend for Kansas City and some other good crowds for Pittsburgh. So I think once they get involved in that consistency of playing at home, I think you'll see better results. This schedule has been a little hokey as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's really hard for them to really get acclimated to it, whether it's you're here for 3, you're gone for 7, you play at 12:15, you're 1:15, and 7:15. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. And if there's one thing about baseball players, they like continuity. They like to have a set process to go through. And I think we're going to start to see more of that now that we've kind of gotten away from the spring portion of the schedule, and we'll get into May and certainly into June.
Well, when you're doing it every day, you want that consistency.
That's the
life of a baseball player, though. The schedule's
exactly
all over the place. But this one does, I think you're right, it does feel a little more all over the place than normal.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, we've only seen our division, what, twice? We've seen Pittsburgh. We had a chance to see them play. And who else did we see in our
Milwaukee,
division?
Milwaukee, 2 games against Milwaukee, yeah.
With the rain out.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, so, you know, it's not like you're playing teams with any sort of regularity or knowledge. And, you know, some would say, well, at least you're getting those other teams out of the way for your schedule so you can really zero in on your divisional play. But I'd like to see a little bit more divisional play. I'd like to see more of it, certainly in September and August, when games really mean something as far as postseason is concerned. I'm not the biggest believer in how the schedule works. I'm certainly not a big believer in how scoring works these days. But, you know, it's one of those things that maybe as we get into this collective bargaining agreement, some other people can take a look and say, hey, you know what? We could do a better job of this. I don't know if we need to play everybody every year. You know, when we used to just play a division each year, I thought that made it a lot of fun. Some people would say, well, you know, why do we have to play the American League East every year, you know, or every other year, you know, when they're a really good conference. And I'm sure people will say that about our division now. I mean, we're the only division, the Central, that has everybody over 500.
Yep.
So, you know, somebody's not going to be happy about it. And I get that. But I think there's a better way to create more consistency and certainly scheduling continuity that I think most people could live with.
A few things on what was just mentioned. First off, I would much rather see more divisional games at the beginning and at the end of the season and then get to some of the interesting interleague matchups in the middle of the year when where people are going to the ballpark. But, I mean, early and late is when I would like to see the divisional matchups. And, you know, people ask about all the teams being above 500. The Cardinals are not the only team in the division that have played very few games against other teams in the division. It's that way across the board, especially for the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Cubs. Those three teams have played the least amount of divisional games. I'd also, when it comes to the good record on the road and the not as the, you know, lesser record at home, just a public service announcement, because we see things like this all the time. 2 years ago, I think the exact same thing was happening, and Ollie was asked about it all the time, and he's basically like, it's gonna even out. Let's not be a prisoner of the moment. Let's look back at the way things happen. It's the first 2 months of the year. If we put too much stock, if we're in August and it's still something, well, then let's talk about it. But I don't engage in this. It's way, way, way too early to see some schedule anomaly, some record anomaly where the team is a lot better on the road than they are at home. It's baseball. Things happen like that. And when we start to try to define it, we're just going down a rabbit hole that we don't need to go down. Let's talk about the stuff that matters.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a definition. I think it's noteworthy that it's interesting that 6 weeks into a season, that's what it looks like. Maybe even 7 weeks into a season. That's kind of what it looks like right now.
I don't think it means anything.
I think it's interesting.
You can find some version of this every year.
Just wait till Flag Day. That way you'll know what you have. So that's June 14th, and we have about another month. And by then, we would have played enough teams to know who we are, and we'll know what teams are for real or not. And you still have time to fix your ball club if necessary. But, yeah, I think Matt Pauly makes a good point. And I think the reason why we're discussing it so much is because that's all we have. I mean,
we could talk about nothing.
We could. Yeah. Well, we're almost there. We're almost there when it comes to this subject.
So let's talk about way too early to make any kind of declaration about anything. What about players on this team right now through about 7 weeks of the regular season? Can we feel like whatever they're doing, good or bad, is actually real? And I think this really pertains more toward the younger players, because we're still trying to get a feel for a lot of these guys. JJ Weatherholt's been in the league for weeks, an entirety of weeks, right? Jordan Walker's been around for a while, but this season has been super encouraging because he's had the dip and he's responded from it. But as you look at the entire roster of young players, relatively inexperienced, is there anybody that you're looking at thinking, okay, what we're getting from them is actual and it is real and it's not just a blip, either good or bad?
It's a good question. I think what we're seeing from Mason Wynn, I think that can be better. I'm waiting on J.J. Weatherholt to hit the wall. Alec Burleson is Alec Burleson. I think he's going to be just fine. I think Nolan Gorman is Nolan Gorman, you know, and you can take that either way. Nathan Church is an intriguing player. With each day he has a chance to play, he makes it even more interesting to see what the Cardinals do once Lars Nootbaar comes back. Victor Scott, I think, can be better. The home run yesterday was big, and he did a couple other things. His defense is keeping him in the lineup. And Jordan Walker, I think the best thing I can say about him is the fact that once he got hot and they made adjustments, then he started to make adjustments. And I think his patience at the plate and not chasing pitches that he once did, I think, is one of the real standouts. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to strike out, but I think he has a better approach at the plate. Now, if there's one thing you might want to raise an arm or a hand to, you might say, what about catching? Herrera's been good the 2 days he catches. Pedro Pages has had a good season, but offensively he's still trying to find a way to be a bigger contributor. Your bench has been okay. Jose Fermin had his first big league start at first base yesterday and accounted for himself reasonably well. Would you like to have a little bit more punch? Who wouldn't? So then you go to the bullpen. Bullpen has had its moments. I think Ryan Stanek is the guy we thought was one thing, and he's been something else. But I see flashes of him being the guy that on why I think they signed him. Matt Swanson is a guy who's still trying to find the mojo from last year, and the biggest issue he has is getting behind early in the count. And then the other guys have kind of fallen into place for the most part. George Soriano has been a pleasant surprise. He's done a nice job. I think he'd like to be a little bit better on the left side of other than Jojo Romero. But you know what? That's where the evaluation process continues as we speak. Gordon Graceffo is in that category, too, where he's been able to show you he can give you more than one inning at a time. So there's a lot more positives and a lot more things I'm looking forward to seeing, to being able to say I've seen enough.
We're not small sample size anymore. The numbers that guys have put up have been legitimate. Now, are there guys that are going to – do I think Jordan Walker is going to finish out the year with a plus 900 OPS? I don't know. But he doesn't have to have that to have a really good season. Do I think Michael McGreevy is going to finish out the year with a 2.10 ERA? Probably not, but that doesn't mean he can't have a really good season. So when answering this question, it's a little bit challenging because we can see some guys start to fall off a little bit, and it would make sense for some of those guys to do so, but that doesn't mean they're going to have bad years. That doesn't mean Walker's going to go back to what he was last year. And I think there's guys that, you know, I look at Ivan Herrera, and he's still got a plus 800 OPS. He's putting together a very good year, but he's not hitting home runs right now. Even that, you know, the ball he hit yesterday, that was 104 off the bat. It was into the ground, but it was 104 off the bat, and that's why it was able to get out to left field. He is still hitting the ball incredibly hard. His challenge right now is he's not lifting the ball. That launch angle just needs to come up a little bit, and he's going to start hitting the balls over the wall again. So, you know, where maybe a Walker or a McGreevy might have a little bit of a step back, a guy like Herrera absolutely can take a step forward. But I think that to answer your question, Ronj, there's nobody that's done anything on this team that I think is overwhelmingly unsustainable. Even if Walker comes off a little bit, he can sustain being a good player, a very good player, a middle-of-the-order run-producing bat. Now, a lot of these guys have never gone through 162 games, and we know that's one of the challenges of baseball. That's one of the reasons I love baseball, because you have to build your team to win today and also win tomorrow and to win next month. And playing 162 games is a big, big challenge. And there's no way to really know what some of these guys are going to respond to when we do get into August and get into September and they're trying to play every day and they've just never done it and never sustained a high level. But it's hard. I can't assess which guys might fall back and which guys might not.
Well, you know what, Matt? Also, think about this. You're in 162, and let's say you get to August, and now you look around and say, well, this is as many games as I've ever played, and oh, by the way, we might be in contention. So what does that look like from a pressure standpoint? For guys who've never gone through it before, some guys just shrug their shoulders and say it's just another game, and then other guys look at it and say, boy, you know, the heat's really on because we have to be better. I think there's a lot of guys who are in between, because in this most recent spate of games, they're playing some teams with some very impressive names on the back of their jerseys, and it didn't faze them at all. They continue to just go out and play their game, and they play a frustrating game when you're the opposition, because they run the bases well, they throw to the right bases, they were working at bat, all the things that teams don't want to see, the Cardinals were able to provide it to them, and they didn't really care who they were playing.
Got a couple more moments with Matt Pauly, who's joining the show, Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji. And when we come back, briefly want to get your take on a pretty big college basketball development, potentially. We'll discuss that when we come back on KMOX. It is the Gas House Gang until 1 o'clock on KMOX. A few more moments with Matt Pauly. We've got Mike Claiborne here. And guys, pretty big news yesterday we heard, and multiple people are reporting, so it sounds like it's going to happen. But the Billikens and the Missouri Tigers set to potentially play a game at Enterprise Center in early November. We don't know if it's a one-off or if it's going to be a 2 or 3 year deal. But guys, what are your thoughts on this? Because it's a pretty big deal.
I love it. I remember a few years ago when Missouri and Illinois had a 3-game series, and they may have been the 3 best attended games each program had seen out of conference. I don't know why there's a reason why they shouldn't play. I know there was a time when Missouri would say, well, what do we have to lose? What do we have to gain by playing St. Louis U? I think those days have changed. And I think now when you look at how scheduling takes place, the networks want to see these games, okay? And the fans want to see them. And I think it helps your RPI and however other ways they evaluate whether you're tournament worthy. So I don't think anybody has anything to lose by playing this game. And hopefully you play a 3-game series.
I think I saw that's going to be a 3-year deal. And I would love for this to be a circle the calendar game the way Missouri, Illinois is in St. Louis. You know, that's a game that we, when the schedule comes out every year, we look and see when that game is going to take place. So putting this game at the Enterprise Center, kudos, by the way, to Dennis Gates. And let's not forget that Dennis Gates was the coach at Cleveland State before he was at Missouri. So he knows, you know, not that Cleveland State and St. Louis are in the same spot. There's a big difference between being SLU and being a team in the Horizon League. But Dennis Gates knows the plight of being a non-major program, and he's going to go play a good team in a tough spot. So it's good for college basketball. It's good for this community. It's good for this region. It can be good for both programs. There's going to be years where SLU beats Missouri, and there's going to be Missouri fans grumbling, why in the world are they playing that game? Because at the end of the year, it could have a negative impact on the, you know, the strength of schedule and all that. But let's not – Missouri plays in the SEC. They are going to have plenty of opportunities to raise their resume with the teams that they're playing in conference.
And here's a new slash to both programs. You don't really have it like that, okay? Neither team has had that great postseason success. So it's not like there's this great tradition of how dare you play St. Louis U. And what is St. Louis U playing Missouri for? Hey, neither one of you guys know what it's like to be in a Final Four. Neither one of you these programs have ever had that great tournament success. Now, they've had reasonable success within their conferences, which is good. But, hey, look, you know what? It's okay to take a bite out of the apple. I don't think anybody's going to lose their job over this. I don't think anybody's attendance is going to drop. The donors won't stop donating money. I think most of the donors, when you think about it, are in the state of Missouri. So let's have some fun with this thing and get the rivalry going. I mean, the coaches, and here's the thing. You mentioned Dennis Gates. These two coaches get along great. I mean, they've known each other for a while, and I think the fact that they understand where their programs are, it can only help whether you win or lose. If you have these games on the schedule, at least you can say, well, we played a very game opponent in Missouri, or we played a very game opponent in St. Louis U.
And not to be a jerk about it, but especially with NCAA
But if you want to be, go ahead. Be a good one, Matt.
What do you think
this
hour is for?
If you're going to be one, Matt. Yeah.
especially with NCAA tournament expansion, if Missouri misses the NCAA tournament because they lost to SLU, well, then they got bigger problems.
That's
place.
Right.
Yeah, and they had bigger problems.
And let me say this about Dennis Gates, because you mentioned it, Pauly, as we say goodbye here, that he knows what it's like to be with a mid-major kind of school, or maybe lower than that even, and he knows that plight. All these basketball coaches do, because almost all of them were at a mid-major at some point. And you know what they do when they get to the big programs? They pull the ladder up behind them. And so for Dennis Gates to say, you know what, I'm going to go through with this, I think that says a lot about him. Yeah. Matt Pauly, goodbye. We'll be listening to pregame 6:20 for that tonight. 7:15 first pitch, but also Matt's got the Redbird Rush Hour show at 5 o'clock as well. I'm here.
You'll
with,
be part of what we do with the Cardinal postgame show as well. So
yeah, we're going to get into
if you
that.
You haven't heard enough of Matt Pauly, then today is your lucky day because you're going to have him 24/7.
That's almost. Right. And then we got you. We've got live from Ballpark Village as well. We're going to talk about that Friday Night Live, and it's a big guest. Chaim Bloom will be on the show with you.
And Chip Carey will join us as well, so we'll have a good time.
When we come back, though, we're going to talk to Kansas City Royals broadcaster Joel Goldberg. Cardinals and Royals tonight at Busch Stadium. It is rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball. We'll talk to Goldberg next on KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
It is rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball, and the Cardinals at Busch tonight hosting the Kansas City Royals. We got the pregame at 6:20, 7:15 first pitch on KMOX. Time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line today, and we welcome in Kansas City Royals broadcaster on the TV side. Joel Goldberg is with Mike Claiborne and Chris Ranji. Joel, good to talk to you. How are you?
Chris, good to talk to you. Claibs, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joel. It's always good to have you back in St. Louis. This used to be your old stomping grounds, and having you back in takes us back a few years.
Well, we were both a bit younger then, so was everybody else, I guess. But I was thinking about it too, like as I was bouncing around downtown just a little bit this morning, and I was like, man, so many memories, and it's a lifetime ago for me. I mean, I've now almost by next year at this point, I'll have lived in Kansas City twice as long.
Oh, wow.
As we did in St. Louis, and just to bring it all to perspective, I'm only doing tonight's game. I don't ever miss games, but my son, who was born here. Missouri Baptist, and my daughter was too, and they were 2 and 5 when we left, and I'm leaving after the game tonight to get back tomorrow because my son is graduating from the University of Kansas. So it's been that long since we've been gone, and wow. It's always great to come back.
Well, congratulations on the graduation. Now the fun begins when they reach into your pocket, so you have that to look forward to.
Oh, you mean hey, it never stops?
Oh no, man, never. No, it's it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime dream for them. No. So look at it that way. But hey, congratulations on the graduation, man. That's always a lot of fun to be there for that. Hey, let me ask you about your ball club. At the beginning of the year, I felt like that division which is very competitive, was going to be one where we see a lot of teams tinkering around 500 or so. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been up and down so far. But give me your thoughts on the last week or so and how you guys have played.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to overstate this and say this is the streakiest team I've ever seen, because I'm sure we could find others, but you know, they just got swept in Chicago, and I should say like the White Sox are significantly better. I mean,
Much better. They got to a point.
Yeah, and I could see it too. I mean, the talent's there, they're young, they're energetic. Doesn't really excuse getting, swept, and it certainly doesn't excuse now having played them 7 times and gone, 2 wins against them, 2 and 5, I guess, against them. So that was a bit unexpected. It was only a couple of years ago. I think the Royals went 12-1 against them in their bad season. But I guess what I was getting at, Claibs, is that this team now, this early in the season, already has 6 streaks of at least 3 games of winning or losing. So it's pretty much been win 3 or 4, lose 3 or 4, win 3 or 4, lose 3 or 4. They had a disastrous April and then had a stretch of a week and a half where they were the hottest team in baseball, got themselves within a half a game of first place in the division, and now they buried themselves again over the last week. The good news, and you alluded to it, is that this division is, you didn't use these words, but I will, this division is very mediocre at best, at least to this point. I guess you did say it in terms of 500. And so I think if you hang in there, you got a shot in this division. I still think it's a 3-team race between Cleveland, Detroit, and the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, just a few days ago, the best team in the division had that 500 record. Everybody else was below 500. So it's interesting to look at the AL Central and compare them to the National League Central, where there are no teams that are under 500. And I know it's only you know, a month and a half into the season, but you rarely you rarely see either of those things. You rarely see an entire division that is either under 500 or barely at 500 or the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes you see, you know, if you got teams really able to beat up on that one team, I mean, I think that's part of it, too, is that there's no real, like, White Sox team that there was in the past in this division. And so you do see a lot of that. Although, I thought when the season started that there was a chance that Minnesota actually is in fifth place and the White Sox are in fourth. I still think it shakes out that way. And I don't think that there's a dominant team. I mean, I think a lot of people got locked in on Detroit, understandably. I still wasn't totally sold on that, but, you know, they do have Tarek Skubal out for a long time. That's a big game changer. So, I don't know about you guys, certainly follow the NL Central a lot more than I do, but, you know, kind of knew going in that Milwaukee and the Cubs would be what you think they're going to be, and sounded like Pittsburgh and Cincinnati were on the rise. And if people were down on expectations from the Cardinals, they've certainly been really good. So I still think that we're early enough in the season. We're far enough along where you yourself, and that's where, again, the Royals have the advantage of having been in a mediocre division, so they're not buried. If they were in a different division, they'd be in a lot of trouble. But it does feel like there's still time for teams and things will kind of self-correct to where, for the most part, barring injuries, we thought they'd be.
You know, I'm looking at the pitching pairings tonight and our old buddy Michael Walker, who started with us, going against Dustin May, and they had similar careers. They both started their careers like a house of fire. You know, Walker with the great changeup, and then he started to have some unique injuries, and it really kind of set him back, and he reinvented himself, and now he's one of those guys you can count on. And the same thing with Dustin May, where he got off to a good start, had some injuries, got set back a little bit. The situation in Boston didn't work out for him. He's now probably pitching as well as we've seen him pitch as a Cardinal these days. And Walker is the same guy. I mean, he's 4-2, and he's got that ERA low once again. And we're going to have some fun watching these two guys work tonight.
Yeah, and Walker, it's funny. I sat down and did an interview with him yesterday in Chicago that'll run tonight, and we were looking back at video of his big league debut. Now, we have talked, and you guys might remember this, we have talked ever since he came to the Royals a couple of years ago about his debut, because not only did it come against the Royals back in 2013, but it was that game, that getaway day game that ended at 3:14 in the morning. I can still hear Mike Shannon's voice bouncing through the whole stadium. It did not worry. Where you were sitting in the stadium at 3 in the morning, you could hear Mike Shannon's call, because it was bouncing off of all the concrete walls and there were no people to muffle it. There must have been
nobody.
Somewhere between 20 to 40 fans left, to the point where anyone that had a seat behind the Royals dugout at that odd hour was getting free gum, sunflower seeds, and whatever it was.
Anything that was left.
Crazy, because if you'll remember, I'm just going to bring this up from a nostalgia standpoint, that if you'll remember that the Royals had the lead, they'd taken the lead in the top of the ninth inning, and the rain came, and so the Cardinals are furiously trying to get the field ready. There was a lot of gamesmanship going on. Mike Matheny is the manager at that point, and we would, of course, joke with him about this when he became the Royals manager, and we've joked about it since with Walker. But the Royals were, you know, full court press, or the Cardinals were full court press to get this thing in, and then they found out, everybody found out from the league, that there'd been a rule change in the offseason that no one seemed to know about that wiped out the incomplete inning, and suddenly if the game was going to end, they were going to wipe out what the Royals had just done, and the Cardinals were going to win in a shortened game. And suddenly they went into what looked like a four corners offense. And we had guys on the Royals that were out there picking up the dirt in the diamond dry, trying to speed things along for the grounds crew. And in the end, the Royals ended up winning that thing at 3:14 at 3:14 in the morning. We left. Landed in Texas about 6:45 in the morning. I know that I was scheduled to do morning radio, and I told them, we're going to get into Texas at 2 or 3 in the morning. Just have me on the last slot for the morning show in Kansas City. We landed, and I said, call me at 7:30 because I'm going to bed in a little bit. But that was Michael Walker's debut, and like hours after that game ended, or hours before it ended, he was already out. But what I interviewed him yesterday was we queued up his first big league hit, and he jokes that he had his first big league hit before he gave up a big league hit. And you see Wainwright and all these guys cheering on the sideline, and Waka with a full head of hair. Now there's a little less hair and a full beard. He's clean shaven at that point. And here's this 21-year-old kid that gets his first hit. And ironically, the pitcher for the Royals that night was Jeremy Guthrie, who will be our color commentator in the booth tonight.
Well, I remember Jeff Francoeur being on that team, and he was also on the other longest game ever played at Busch Stadium when he's with the New York Mets. And every time I'd see him, I say, "Here we go." I mean, it was. I remember that game like it was yesterday, man. I think we had a day off the next day, but it was one of those nights you seldom forget. Yeah. So all I can say is this: we're not going to have that tonight. We're not going to have that.
No. Thank goodness. I got to drive back to Kansas City, but. But I will just say, I remember at some point we're all must have been all so slow. Well, if I'm really being honest here, and it's okay, they told us when it went into a rain delay we weren't going to do a post game show. And my longtime broadcast partner and I, Jeff Montgomery, thought that'd be a great opportunity to go across the street to the Westin and have a cocktail or a few. And thankfully, before
more like
they changed
a few.
Their minds, yeah, more like a few. Shortly after they changed their minds before we left the stadium. So we stayed in one piece, no rules broken. Everything was good. We laugh about that to this day. And I know this much, that when I got to the hotel in Texas, I'm pretty sure that I fell asleep towards the end of the interview. Like I didn't see anything bad the next morning or when I woke up that I did anything bad, but I'm like, I'm drifting in and out in this thing right now. So that's a night I'll never forget. And so we joke about that a lot with it being Waka's debut. But I'll just say this. He's been great for the Royals, and he's really found – maybe he's always had it, that consistency, but he is that veteran leader along with Seth Lugo of the pitchers that just, you know, feels like you almost have an extra pitching coach with Waka.
And that's why you guys are going to be in this thing before it's over with, because you have those sort of guys, and you have Salvi and some other guys and Bobby Witt Jr. So I think – I don't look at the standings. I think you guys are certainly going to be in the hunt for this thing, and I hope it gets started on Monday for you guys.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally understand that one, and I hope you guys pick back up. I think we were in Sacramento just a couple weeks before you guys, and that team's better than people realize.
Oh, yeah.
West Sacramento. Yeah. The A's are good.
Yeah, no, I like them a lot. Losing Jacob Wilson doesn't help them, but you know what? When you look at their lineup, and now they have the kid Bolte that's going to play center field for them for a while, they are a team I'm glad we're finished playing with, because they're going to give somebody some problems down the road.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Joel Goldberg, before we say goodbye here, I just have one question about this rivalry that you well know how we here were a little salty about the Kansas City thing going back to 1985, and maybe that's dissipated a bit since the World Series have happened multiple times here. But how do people in KC view this rivalry?
You know, it's a great question. I like this topic, Chris, because I've felt like in all my time, you know, being over here and then there for so long, that this thing's about the fans. You know, for the players, it's just the next game on the schedule. Maybe a little special for Waka tonight. You know, his wife's from here, and they'll have family there. But it's not like it's the first time of him coming back. And so, you know, I think sometimes when you have some players that have played in both spots, sure. But I think it's just the next game on the schedule. This one's all about the fans. And I feel like it has dissipated, Chris, over time, because I think, one, like there's a whole generation of fans now that they weren't around for 1985. You know, and even those that were around for it saw the Cardinals win a bunch. I was surprised that, you know, I was filling in and doing some Blues stuff a bunch of years back, and I remember coming back into town after the Royals won the World Series, and I was surprised at how many people were congratulating me. It was almost like, well, you know, we know what this feels like, and, you know, good for you guys for having it, especially because it's not against us. So I think people have gotten over 85. I mean, that's like, it feels like it shouldn't be that many years ago, but we're talking, what, 41 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, there's a good chunk of your audience and our audience that have only ever heard about that. It's, you know, it's like saying that the 90s or 90s music is oldies or something like that. I mean, so I just think it's fun. You know, it's fun because I feel like a lot of people from St. Louis will come over to Kansas City and vice versa and make it a trip and make it a fun weekend. And I think that adds to the flavor. It's not like, it's not the bitter rivalry we want to make it out to be. It's not Cardinals Cubs. It's not anything like that. I just think it's fun.
Well, Joel Goldberg, it's good to talk to you. It's good to have you back in town, and enjoy the game tonight. Be careful on your drive back, and thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, good to be with you guys always. And I'll just say this in closing. I know he's on the other side, and you've seen it already before, but there's probably a good chance tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, or all weekend long that Bobby Wood Jr. will do something offensively, defensively on the base paths that makes your jaw drop.
No, absolutely.
Enjoy
yeah.
that from a baseball yeah. standpoint. It's a lot of fun
You're
to watch.
Kidding me. He's going to do that again, huh? Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Joel. It's good to talk to you.
See you guys.
Joel Thank Goldberg, you. Kansas City Royals TV, was here in town for a long time as well. Mike Claiborne, Chris Ronji, getting ready for Rivalry Weekend. The I-70 matchup, I-70 series happens between the Cardinals and Royals at Busch Stadium tonight. Our pregame show starts at 6:20. This is the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Couple more minutes with Mike Claiborne and Chris Ronji on the Gas House Gang. It is Rivalry Weekend in Major League Baseball. I-70 series at Busch. You've got the Cardinals and the Royals, and this is it's a good, fun weekend, and I am just now finding out. I had never heard of this. Do you know that with the Mariners and Padres playing, Claibs, do you know what the name of their rivalry is?
I have no idea.
I did not know there was a name for it. I didn't even know there was one. It's called the Vetter Cup, and this is the official name of it, and it's because Eddie Vetter, the front man for Pearl Jam, lived in both cities. So he lived in San Diego and then started the band in Seattle.
That's kind of a reach, isn't it?
I mean, I guess. But it's real. You know, it's MLB yeah. sanctioned.
Well, you know, I know they want to be hip and all of that, and I guess that works. But, you know, I look at Rivalry Week with the Cardinals in Kansas City. The reason why it's a rivalry is because an umpire kicked a call.
That's
I mean,
right.
there were no guys right. who disliked the other guy. I mean, all these guys have been really civil toward each other. The fans have been great in both cities. So, you know, that's the only rivalry we have, and it's certainly a better answer than the Vetter Cup. That's for damn sure.
That's right.
And I'd never heard of that. That's very unique.
Did not hear about it until a half hour ago. It's the first time it ever crossed my mind. All right, Mike Claiborne, we'll be listening tonight. Ball game, 6:20 pregame show, 7:15 first pitch, and then after the game, the postgame show, and then Friday Night Live at Ballpark Village, Cardinals Nation. You will be there. Chaim Bloom is going to be with you.
And Chip Carey
is with you as
yeah,
well.
We'll have a good time tonight. Right. Will the Cardinal win to go with it. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, my friends. Stop by Ballpark Village tonight for Friday Night Live. Chaim Bloom, Claibs, Chip Carey will be there. Coming up next, it is the Dave Glover Show. This has been the Gas House Gang. You can catch the podcast on KMOX.com or the Odyssey app.